back in front of you with the agenda. So if there are no changes to the agenda, a motion to adopt it.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Next is the minutes, and there's also a copy of the minutes in front of you from the last meeting. Are there any changes to the minutes? If there's no changes, need a motion to adopt the minutes.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right, so moved. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right.
And is there any way of sending the minutes out before the meetings?
Yeah, she does send them out.
Yeah. I just missed it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I've been traveling a lot.
Yeah. All right, so Jim, you want to just take the wildlife management update?
Wildlife management update. We'll talk about the geese first, I guess. Like I told you, we have a goose nest and egg depredation permit that we get every year. We've been pretty successful this year with finding nests and eggs. And that's about all I'm going to say about that, but without going into details. But as far as the geese go, it's a pretty successful year. The deer, we had requested a permit from Delaware Fish and Wildlife, and it took forever to get, basically. We had people lined up to take care of the deer, and in fact we went out and did a kind of a dry run to kind of walk through what we were going to do, and scared up all the deer. They went over along the fence where, you know, would have been a good place to take care of them. Unfortunately, we didn't have the permit then. We were going to come back the next week. It took Fish and Wildlife so long to get it for us that, you know, now we're into the pregnant deer season, so we're not going to go out and shoot pregnant deers. But we do have a permit that's good till the end of the year. So when the time is right, we'll go out and do that. We're still at 6 or 7 out
end
there.
Of the calendar
year. Yeah. So that's still on our list of things to do. We're still out there chasing them off the runway and harassing them. And, you know, if we get the chance, we'll try to chase them out through the gates. But, you know, right now I don't have a lot of interest in people field dressing a deer and having a little baby deer fall out. So
you got a permit to shoot them, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to do that?
We actually have 6 county employees lined up. I think they're all named Bubba for some reason.
Scratch that for
the, yeah, but they were raring to go, and they were ready. If we had gotten the permit in time, we just didn't get it. So.
Well, Paul Dewar does it over in Cambridge, and he does it with a silence 308, so nobody ever knows, nobody ever hears a sound, they just fall.
Yep.
And picks them up, put them on a truck, takes them to the food pantry, and dress them out.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we would do here. Probably not with the silencer, but.
Well, nobody can complain of shooting at the airport if they can't hear it.
Yeah. Well, we run into, you know, the liability and public perception issues. So we're kind of stuck with the process that we have. That's all I got. Well, let's see. I did see a fox they chased off the taxiway yesterday. They're out there too. The grass cutting is a little behind schedule this year because of the wet weather and some personnel issues, but they're out there getting caught up on that. Drove through the grass this morning, and all kinds of blackbirds are flying up out of them, so we'll get the grass cut and take care of that problem. That's it on that, unless you got any questions.
Any other questions for Jim on the wildlife management update? No questions on that? Go into the airport.
Nobody's mentioned it yet, but the county has hired a new economic development director. His name is Bill Pfaff. Like that, Pfaff, P-F-A-F-F. So he'll be the newest member of the committee once he starts, which will be next week. And I'll let him or Todd introduce him next time. Instrument approaches, I did put a formal request in with the FAA for a straight-in VOR approach to runway 4, and got turned down. the final approach course was outside of the criteria for a straight-in approach. I called them up, and I said, well, we just had one. It was a straight-in off of Waterloo, and, you know, he said, you know, it's all done by computer now. You put the numbers in, and he said it's like 2 degrees outside. Well, how did we have this before? And he said, well, probably what happened is a couple of things. One is, you know, they used to be hand drawn, so you know, you can fudge a little bit, and the criteria has probably changed over the years since we actually designed that, or they designed that approach. So the final answer is no VOR straight into four. And we're seeing that with a lot of things with the FAA that are done by computer, which is my
DRVA. We've got a nightmare with DRVA. Tell you about that.
That kind of brings me into the next project, which is our aeronautical survey project. That was our FY17 grant project. We're in the final stages of that. Identifying all the obstructions, but go ahead.
I'm just thinking out loud. The VOR 4 is outside by 2 degrees. And then 2.2 is probably even worse because it's at a greater angle.
Do you really want me to ask that question?
I don't want you to ask that question. But I'm thinking out loud, which I'm not going to think out loud anymore. Yeah. You guys told me not to ask questions tonight.
I was going to say, you promised that I'm thinking out loud today.
You didn't record it, right?
Yeah. I don't want to ask that question. Okay, so our aeronautical survey, this was to identify all the obstruction penetrations to all the different surfaces that the FAA makes us look at. The survey has been completed, was submitted to the FAA. The good news is, their initial review of it to see if we penetrated what they call this 20-to-1 surface. There were no 20-to-1 penetrations. If there had been, we would have lost our night approach capability, or night landing capability. So that part's good. There's nothing critical there. Our consultant is finishing up the project. They're looking at a lot of the cost numbers right now. They'll have the final report to us June 3rd. And then from there, part of the project is to identify the obstacles and come up with an obstacle action plan, which is required by the FAA. There are some critical obstructions that we need to take care of right away. This summer, and the county will take care of that. Luckily, there's nothing really serious, nothing that's difficult to take care of. Most of it's on county property or places we have an easement for. So we'll be looking at that over the summer. The next part of the project then is actually to design the obstruction removal and mitigation. There's, like I told you, like 7,000 different points that they identified that need to be taken care of. Most of it are, you know, groups of trees, so that it's not as bad as it sounds. So the FY18 project will be an obstruction removal design, and then FY19 will be the actual removal and mitigation work. So that's ongoing. Another project that we're working on is replacing Jeff's roof at Sussex Aero Maintenance, and we talked about that before. But that'll take place this summer, I guess.
Do we have a, I don't know, we talked about that till May.
The submittals just came in, and it's the trigger, you know, the skylight location question. But depending on how quickly they can get the materials here, they say they can actually do it in less time than what you and I discussed. Let's see how that goes. Okay. It's certainly not more than the 2 weeks in Asia, so.
Okay, and we'll work with you and
Rob,
and that's kind of a outside the group here,
sure,
type thing. So. We did submit a grant request for the design of our parallel taxiway D for the crosswind runway. It's up at the office of the Secretary of Transportation's office right now to release the funds. There's no issues. It's just a bureaucratic thing that we're waiting on. So we should get that in the next couple of weeks. Our electrical upgrade project, we've got two new vaults that are on order, should be here middle of next month. They They've been out there the last few days putting in the access roads to the site, and then they'll be building the pads that the vaults go on. The mid-June is when the vaults will be here. After that, we'll have some conduit work and, you know, connect everything. Again, this was put some redundancy in the system, separate some of the controls, some of the cable runs. We're getting to be kind of long, and we're having some voltage problems. Just solves a bunch of different things.
But it's a multi-year project.
Yes.
We have funds for next year. Some of the conduit runs will be installed, but not all the terminations made, not the switch arrow was made. So we still have to get some constant current, regulators purchased, etc. There's a number of things we have to do to make it fully functional.
Yeah. It is one of those projects you're really not going to see. You're not going to tell the difference, but it'll make a big difference to the airport. You know, it's not like a new runway or a taxiway or something. Georgetown Air Services hangar is supposed to be complete this week. That's all I'm going to say, unless you want to say something about it.
Well, I don't want to jinx anything, so yes, it's supposed to be complete this week.
So okay.
Did you have Fire Marshal today, or is that Friday?
Friday
morning. Electrical was today, right?
I think electric's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
And the first customer?
State Police.
Yeah, as soon as the hangar is done, we got a customer ready.
No, I mean, like the gentleman who said this one.
Oh, yeah, well, we do have a jet coming in tomorrow that requested he wanted to be in there for a couple nights, so we'll see.
I
think
like that
first. Yeah. Ready to go.
Maybe it'll be a blue airplane. You won't even see it over there.
Blend in. Camouflaged.
You set the roof of that when the inspector comes.
All right. The T-hanger replacement project, if you blinked, you missed them putting it up, because once the building came, they went to town, and the building's pretty much constructed. A lot of electrical work going on inside right now, hooking up motors for the doors and that kind of thing. We're in the process of assigning units to tenants. We ran into a little glitch yesterday. The interior of the building was not laid out the way I'd expected it to be, you know, having eight of one size and one big end unit. We ended up with two big end units that were configured a little bit different. So that affected the rates and, you know, what people thought they wanted, now they don't, and that kind of thing. So we're in the middle of that process. We'll hopefully have the first six wrapped up this week, and then we'll start on the whatever's left. Should be three units. There's some drainage pipe work that we're doing. This has to do with our ongoing fight the drainage problems project. There are some runway closures required for this when they're working up against the runway. We've been working to minimize that, but unfortunately it can't be helped. If we're working in that area, we'll have to close the runway.
When will these runway closures take place?
We're trying to spend the money this fiscal year, so before the end of June.
They're supposed to be completely finished in 6 weeks.
Is this the project that was supposed to happen back in March?
That was the paving project, which will not happen.
No. I'm meeting with Helen about lining pipes that go underneath the runway, and
I think we had put it out to bid, and we didn't like the bid. We rejected the bid, so it got slid back.
It's going to be a major inconvenience, more than an inconvenience, but a major disruption in business to have runway closures after Memorial Day, which is next weekend. And it's really the first time hearing about it, that we're talking about closing a runway for into the summer period. So that's, are there other options? A few weeks ago, I thought we had scheduled work for the fall when we're closing the runway for a week or maybe 10 days. I thought we were going to do any kind of runway work, like ceiling or pipe work, anything else could be done during that period that has to be closed then. So, there's a financial hardship of closing a runway after any time, right from now forward till after Labor Day. So, I really necessary to be done? Is this a critical issue that needs to be resolved right away?
The work on the vaults is critical. Conduit runs associated with the vaults is critical.
Is the electric work, or I thought it was?
The conduit runs which go to the various lighting circuits. Because right now everything's controlled out of vault ones, so obviously.
We're talking about the pipelining, the drainage pipe.
Storm drain.
Yeah, he's talking pipelining. Long effort to get these guys scheduled and get up here. I do not know what closures are required for this. So.
Well, I just talked to Helen this morning and I'm hearing about it now, so I haven't had time to react to it other than to know that.
Well, how many were you talking about, gentlemen? What is it?
I think she had like two full days, if everything goes well. She's also looking into the option of doing it at night, like eight to seven, seven to six, something like that. The contractor is willing to do that. He didn't see a problem with it. So
what is the difference in the impact if you do it after daylight hours?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, and there's no way to know who's coming and when they're coming. We start getting busy. Are the guys able to pull back off the runway if we give them notification? Once they're on the runway, they're on and they can't pull back?
Once they start the lining, they got to keep going.
Yeah.
The videotaping part of it, I think they can pull back.
And the cleaning part.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand about the lead time, but, it's like working on the boardwalk after Memorial Day. I mean, yeah, there's things that, it's just so disruptive. It's the whole reason this airport exists. Not the whole reason, but I mean, it's for the summertime traffic. So, close it anytime during the summer. I can't predict if there's going to be an aircraft coming that night or that day or anything. But I just know in general that any closures after Memorial Day or Labor Day are really disruptive, and they end up going to the other airports.
Then it's hard to get them back.
Yeah, again, just the analogy would be, like I said, working on the boardwalk during the summer season, just not done because of how disruptive it is. So if there's any other way to do it, I thought that we could do all the runway work that needed to be done could be done in the fall when, we have to close it for that repaving job. It seems like a great time to do it. Any and all runway work to minimize the impact, just not just to me, but there's plenty of other businesses and paths and a lot of things that it does disrupt. Even a day or two, it doesn't sound like a lot, but I've got a big investment in this hangar. We've got extra staff on for the summer and a lot riding on it. Maybe just take into consideration if there are other ways to do it, other times to do it, that would be really appreciated.
Same thing here. If it's we got a busy schedule we've ever had for this year. There's going to be runway closures. I'll have to move to Salisbury during that outbreak. We don't have another weekend off. We went out Wednesday or Thursday every weekend now all the way until August.
If you look historically here, what's the best day of the week?
I can't use the short runways except I think I've used it one time and we had a real strong wind. I think we get in and use a
40 knot headwind.
What?
40 knot headwind?
No, it was 28 knots gusting and right down runway, the short runway, and I was able to get in there actually fairly easy, but only because of wind.
I think we already have the contractor limited to Tuesday to Thursday.
No, but I mean, maybe there is a day which fits better than Tuesday or Thursday. Maybe
Wednesdays are generally slow. We got slammed today. I mean, I could tell you a certain day of the week, but it would be, I could just pull a number out of a hat because the unfortunate part about this business is there's no predictability to it. I mean, we're generally a little busier on the weekends, but everything's all over the ramp today.
And during the week, a lot of it seems to be business traffic.
Yeah,
a lot of the bigger
ones we had today were
business traffic, and that's mostly daytime.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, I know you try to work with us. County does a great job working with all of the tenants at the airport, trying to minimize these closures. So, you know, and I know you got to juggle budget and the contract pressures as well. So
there's several things.
I know there's a lot of moving parts, probably some that we don't even know about too. So I'm just requesting, to the extent possible, that you do it all these in kind of one fell swoop. And we
is the contractor aviation oriented? Is he like
George Lynch, that been here before.
Okay.
So, right. I mean, like, that's another thing. You know, like, we had to, the first round on the bids, we did, like, A, the price, and B, the selection. So now we have finally got it in our time and material contract schedule. They needed a subcontractor to do the lining. They had months of lead time, because it's a very it's a business which has.
Jim, you said the contractor might be willing to do it work at night.
They didn't see that, think there was a problem with working at night.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but that could be a change order.
It's not a change order.
Well,
we
yes, time
we
material.
We have overtime rates in the contract, so we just pay more. But I mean, like, in that case, hey, Wednesday night looks like a good night to do it. I wrote myself a note.
I mean, how soon do you think this is happening?
They have number on it, they're starting.
Well, yeah, they're working on other parts of their contract.
They're on site.
I'm not sure when the pipelining contract is lined up, though. Do you know that?
No, but tomorrow I will.
Oh, because they're doing the conduit work that you mentioned earlier as well.
I do, probably right now working on the access to the vaults.
They did some drain pipe around taxiway A south, which didn't affect anything.
Okay, well,
it's a good contract.
They did the entire milling and repaving contract, right? Is that George?
Oh, yeah.
The guys didn't bid on the time material contract. I tried to get into it.
Much mechanical. Told you that.
Okay.
All right. The next one will be more utility work.
All right. The last thing I want to bring up, this is more gets into the policy stuff. I went to the American Association of Airport Executives Conference last week to hobnob with my fellow airport managers. And one of the subjects that came up was the importance of minimum standards. There was one of the panelists was an airport developer. You know, his business was around airports and, you know, built hangars and that kind of thing. He said the first thing he looks for is the airport's minimum standards. Make sure that they have a strong set of minimum standards and that they're being enforced. The other subject that came up with that, and was kind of a general thing among a lot of the airports, was what to do about mechanics that drive out to the airport. You know, whether it's the companies like NetJet uses, you know, the drive over from Baltimore when an airplane is stranded here, or what they call the pickup truck mechanics, you know, that come out and they work on somebody's airplane in their T-hanger or their hangars around on the ramp someplace. You know, they're talking about the importance of applying the minimum standards equally to those people, so that you're protecting businesses that are on the airport and protecting the airport itself. There was one incident that they talked about. You know, a guy drove out to the airport, you know, in his pickup truck probably, worked on somebody's airplane and left a rag in one of the cylinders of the engine. The airplane took off, crashed, killed the pilot. They sued the airport, you know, because the airport did not control commercial activity at the airport like they should have. So, just something to think about. It's probably time to start looking at our minimum standards and our rules and regulations again. I know how much fun it was the last time. So
that doesn't seem to. I mean, that could happen to any shop could make a mistake. I mean, it doesn't
right.
seem to be that it's
right.
because of the
right. But this guy didn't have insurance that covered working at the airport. Didn't cover the airport.
Yeah. Well, the insurance issue. If that's what you're referring to, but I mean, some of the minimum standards require you to have a building with bathrooms and
yeah.
other infrastructure.
And we allow, well, we exempt the mechanics to come out to get like a jet, net jets flyable so they can get out of here and go to where they can really be fixed. That's already an exemption in there. You know, we have other things like our commercial operating permit, which, you know, then we take a look at insurance requirements and that type of thing. So just so we know who's out here, you know, conducting business on the airport.
So this is really about insurance more than anything, you think?
It's about insurance, it's about protecting, you know, other businesses out here. You know, people are spending money on rent and buildings and insurance.
Is it an enforcement issue, or is it already written into the minimum standards that they have to have insurance? That's not being enforced.
I'm just throwing that out in general. I don't think we've got that problem here that I know of. You know, mechanics driving out and working on people's airplanes. I think we're covered the minimum standards, and you know, it's a matter of enforcement. If we have that problem, and I don't know that we do.
Okay.
You know, the same thing applies to flight instructors that are using their airplane to provide flight instruction. You know, that's a flight school under our minimum standards, and there are requirements for that. And we have had issues with people that are, one individual in particular that should not have been doing what he was doing, providing flight instruction. And so I just throw that out there. Again, you know, that's kind of a general theme at airports these days is minimum standards and enforcing them. And that's all I got.
Okay. Any questions for Jim? Right, hearing none, we'll move to item 6, Wings and Wheels. That's Larry's topic.
Well, first Saturday in October, as always. I was just with Dick Cole out at the 75th anniversary of the Jubilee. Dick stated absolutely he still wants to come back and be with us this fall. He's cut out a lot of other travel, but he still wants to be here, so he's coming.
He doesn't know who Dick Cole is. He's not familiar with Dick Cole.
I've never read American history.
The last surviving member of the Raiders?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Was a lucky
guest. You're good. You're good. We'll be celebrating his 102nd birthday.
And gets around like a 60-year-old, 50-year-old. That's not much.
Yeah.
Who's not our guest?
But yeah. I got a Friday night event. I wish Linda was here. The entertainment is expanded a little bit. There's more of a variety of entertainment. Rick, I wasn't able to make the last meeting. I was out of town. Do you have any updates from the last meeting?
They've pretty much got the agenda set. And like you said, it has expanded a little bit. They have ventriloquist coming in, as well as singers. So it's going to be like a three-act show instead of just a one-act.
The guys that operate the DC-3 out of Manassas, they're wanting to come over. So that'll be a challenge as far as ground space, because the DC-3 is 100-foot wingspan. But, you know, they don't do rides or anything. They just got a absolutely stunning DC-3.
If they're going to buy fuel, we'll work it out, I'm sure.
Well, if they're not doing rides, they probably just want to
We'll find a place to
come over and show
off
the plane.
It's just a spectacular airplane. It's just featured on AOP.
Oh, that's the one?
Yeah.
I saw that. Okay.
All the crew, you know, in period uniforms, and it's just.
Is that the same plane as this parked over at NASA?
No. Well, it's the same airplane, but it's the same make and model. It's
same
not that airframe. Now, this one is just an immaculate restoration airline configuration. Other than that,
I'm just checking to see when NASCAR is for the fall race. Let's see if it's that weekend.
I don't think it's that weekend.
It's not.
It's not?
The weekend before.
Right, okay, so
well, that'll help. Teams who come here?
No, but the Rollins come in with a Gulfstream, and we do have little hit or miss traffic from that for the event, so not having that would open up a lot of red space. For All right, so that's it for the Wings and Wheels. Anybody have a question for Larry? All right, item 7 is our public comments forum. Anybody have any comments for me?
I heard your comment about your mechanics coming out here working. I know when I was doing explosive work for Exxon and Mobil and all those the oil companies, we had to have $1 million liability policy to get on their property to do any work. That might be something that the county would think of. You're going to come out here to have a liability policy to cover you all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
maybe posting signs.
Well, we get those
at the entrances.
Like Jim mentioned, we get the jet mechanics that come over to fix a disabled jet aircraft. I mean, they definitely cover have plenty of insurance. We've never asked them for a certificate, but if that's something you want to do or you want to do, I'm sure.
Yeah, we talked about it when we did the rules and regulations, and we exempted them. I mean, if you want to revisit that, we can. But the other kind of business that they were talking about is, people come out and clean airplanes. You can run into as many problems there too. So, somebody covers up a pitot tube or static port or something that doesn't get picked up, then.
All right, anything else from anybody? All right.
Interesting you mentioned insurance. I mentioned earlier about DRBA. I was scheduled to take Mitchell over to the Millville Air Show next weekend, and DRBA came up and was requiring an insurance that cannot even be purchased in the United States and would not come off of requiring that insurance, but yet you can't buy it. It's just the most obstinate, impossible to people to work with.
I've heard that.
The FAA.
I've heard that. From
no, I've heard
other
the tenants who have to live and work at airports managed by DRBA hate them.
Right.
They're a potential customer for us.
Well, I have not had a good experience with them. I just stay away from events in New Jersey, but they asked me to come. They asked me to participate. Yeah, absolutely. Work. They didn't have any money because it's a museum event. So I said, well, we can sell rides, we can sell a few rides, we can make our expenses doing that, and we'll still fly in the air show. But the insurance part of us came up. You can't even, it'd be different if it was available, if you could buy it. But you can't even buy it in the United States. I had to go to Lloyd's of London to buy the insurance they required to be able to do rides at a DRBA airport. So, I know DRBA has been talked a couple of times and want to come here. Just God help us, please.
No. That's not.
Don't ever. They're the most obstinate, impossible people to work with. Every experience I've had with them, excuse me, you may have had better experience with them. I've not had good experiences with them. And this is not the first time we've ran into experiences. Every airport across the United States has accepted my insurance without quality. I had $2.5 million liability insurance. I have done rides for 10 years at damn near every airport east of the Mississippi and never had a question, never had an issue, except a DRBA management.
Well, while you're on the subject of insurance, we've talked about this the last couple of meetings. We're slowly making our way down the tenant list of collecting insurance certificates from everybody. And there are, you sent me something, I don't know. But what I'm doing is calling everybody and asking them to send me whatever insurance they have that they think matches their lease, and then we'll collect all that and compare it against the leases, and the next step will be to go through and fill in the holes. But we had leases that insurance policies that don't exist anymore, so it's that you can't buy anywhere. So we're having the same problem. It's just we realize that, and we're gonna.
They were former DRBA customers.
Yeah. I forget what, there's one, fire and windstorm insurance, which means nothing to insurance people today. So, but that's in one of the leases.
Become the zombie apocalypse insurance?
Yeah. Yeah. So that is kind of a continuing project for us.
All right, no more public comments, so let's talk about our next meeting date. And this meeting we're in now was supposed to be the June meeting, and we backed up to May to accommodate some scheduling issues. So historically we take off July and August and reconvene in September. So what's the feeling of the committee of having a schedule our next meeting in September, which would normally be, was it the fourth Wednesday?
The 27th. The
fourth Wednesday would be the 27th of September. And if there are any pressing issues that come up between now and then we have to meet, we can always convene a special meeting, but if there's no objections to the 27th, we'll go ahead and set that as our next meeting date. Do we need a motion for that? A motion? No, okay. All right, well then that is the next scheduled meeting day, September 27th, 6 p.m.
What date is next meeting?
September 27th at 6 p.m. here in this room. And then we just need a motion to adjourn, and we're finished up. And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much.